This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
More people sending in various other athletes that missed games for funny reasons. Like when Hunter Pence missed a game or two after slipping and going sliding through the glass door.
That's the one I was thinking of, yeah.
Somebody else mentioned, when Phil Maton got a... hurt his hand punching the locker. Mm-hmm. It also reminds me of, remember Jane McDaniels, who just got bounced out of the NBA playoffs last year, left the playoffs because he punched a wall. Like, punching things is always a funny thing to me because, yeah, like, that's a self-inflicted wound. Why did you do that? What about that sounded like a good idea? I don't know. But as we go around the NFL here, I'm interested. Do you think that this sounds like a good idea here, Lopez, mm-hmm, and dear listener? Because Roger Goodell, who is the commissioner of the National Football League, when it came to the owners' meetings recently, it seems like he's kind of hinting at something, mm-hmm, and that would be hardening of the salary cap. Now, I know that you're looking at me and saying, Reggie, what you mean? They already have a hard cap. Like, this isn't basketball where it's a soft cap, right, where, you know, if you reach, you can go over the salary cap for certain reasons or what have you. This isn't baseball where it's technically no cap except the competitive balance tax, yeah, operates as some sort of pseudo soft tax. But we've seen a lot of things happen lately with, we were talking about this recently, mm-hmm, kind of the maneuvering and manipulation of the salary cap. Things, yeah, like void years, that are years that you never anticipate using, but are things that you can help push payments out into the future, what have you. Goodell kind of talked about he called into question something, quote, the integrity of the cap, actually speaking out by name against the idea of these void years or, mm-hmm, what have you. Now, he obviously isn't speaking specifically about this, but him kind of delving into this area, kind of poking at that, would seem to indicate that when that next CBA comes up, this might be a focus for the NFL, is cutting down on some of these manipulation tactics to make it so that the salary cap operates more straightforward in the ways that you anticipate the salary cap operating. Like, do you like this as an idea? Is there something that you believe is going to be a good idea for the NFL if they do pursue this?
All right, I'm going to go in a totally different direction.
Okay,
all right. I see you working, Raj. I see you working. Why did he float this? Why do you think he floated this?
I don't know. That's a good question that's worth asking, especially as he works at behest of the teams.
Yeah, you float this idea and start maybe gaining some traction on it. So when you're at the negotiating table and you say, hey, we want an 18-game schedule, that way the Players Association says, well, not if you're going to do this too. And then he'll say, okay, we won't do that.
Yeah, but
I think this is all part of the grand picture of getting an 18-game schedule. And, you know, and then he's going to harden this cap because it affects salaries, affects roster spots for players that are maybe on the back end of their career, et cetera, you know, being able to manipulate the salary. I think this is a little more complex than the surface tells you, because what it does, it gives them the right to negotiate about this and wanting to do this and all that, and then finally back away from that so they can get the 18-game schedule.
I think I like the idea that you get into here, because you always have to consider what is the state of the game, right?
And
with the negotiation of the CBA, it's always, especially, mm-hmm, from the NFL's perspective, the owners often have the upper hand in power and leverage, and creating more leverage is something that they're good at, right?
Yeah.
However, I don't know that necessarily adds up in my mind, because the hard salary cap stands to benefit the teams more than the players themselves.
That's
right?
My point. The Players Association is going to push back on it.
No, I don't. Well, the idea,
because the salaries are going to have to be more constricted.
The lack of a hard salary cap, like the ways in which these void years, this is a mechanism that has been developed to help teams with their accounting. Mm-hmm. The accounting gets more difficult, and that's more of a team thing. So I don't know why the teams would put that in and be like, I'll shoot myself in the foot if you don't give me this. Like, I don't know how that operates as a negotiation chip.
I think it ultimately affects his, salaries and number of salaries. I mean, if you're more constricted in the in your salary cap, just common sense will tell you that some players are going to have to fall by the wayside that maybe would be able to get a salary otherwise. You know what I mean?
I mean, maybe, and yeah. if they're able to contort it to that place, more power to the NFL mm-hmm. and their negotiation tactics, because that feels like that's a real lackadaisical offering that the NFL would be giving to the PA yeah. in that instance. But I do find that interesting, and I kind of do like that as, I mean, for one, I think one of the things the NFL has always benefited from is having a salary cap that is more accessible to its fan base. That like. You look
it is, isn't it?
You yeah. look at basketball, and it is an absolute mess.
All these different tiers and
the different, you know, yeah. the different exceptions. You yeah. get the MLE and the yeah. TPE and all these, right? The ABCD,
yeah.
right? You get all those happening.
Like I went into this rabbit hole about the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I'm sure you did too. How they ultimately were built in 2009 or something.
I seen that. It started from the Rashad Lewis yeah. trade back in 07.
Like, my brain started hurting. I was like, wait,
I'm like,
what?
Huh?
I was like, oh. I mean, you piece it together, but you're right. It is more straightforward in the NFL. But I think ultimately the players want, and the Players Association specifically, wants to make sure their players always get as much money as possible. I think you're right. It's harder on the teams in terms of the finances and making the cap fit. But by doing that, it does restrict the amount of money that players ultimately get.
I don't know that that's actually the case, because with the void years, those teams then have to take on that money gets paid or gets accounted for in the salary cap at some point. It's just these owners are now like, hey, this money is in the salary cap in another year, where if you have more of a hard cap, and of course, this is the words that I'm using here. I don't think that it's like the end all be all or it's an exact description of what we're talking about here. But if you have more of a true hard cap, where you're not having some of these, as Goodell called them, dummy years, then that, you know, that extra $40 million or what have you that you've pushed off into future years, that is that you could pay that in that year when you have it, because this is, or, you know, in that time period of the actual situation of the teams. And honestly, it would serve to keep, I guess, the team owners at least protect them from the sales, which the team owners typically like usually. But yeah, I think that probably would make sense in my estimation. Do you think, though, that would kind of change competition? Because, again, we were talking about this yesterday, and I feel strongly about the idea of when you're trying to go for it, that's when you use all these tricks. The idea of not having some more of those tricks at your disposal, would that then maybe make it a little bit harder to, in this, you know, heavy parity league, find little opportunities to get a little bit of an advantage over other teams?
Absolutely. It constricts the team's ability to sign those final pieces and maybe kick some of the salary down into these other years.
Yeah, and maybe I am overrating this, because the 713 makes a good point. Like taxes, they will always find a loophole. That's the thing, is when you have some level of cheaters, and I know it's not cheating, but I think you get the point.
Mm-hmm.
Cheaters are always ahead of the, you know, of the tests or of the things that are meant to stop them. There will always be the more innovative of the two. And so maybe the teams ultimately find another way to have some salary.
It's always some type of loophole with anything in life, man. No matter what they do, they always try to find... They end up finding another loophole to get around it.
Some other things happening around the NFL. Joey Bosa is likely out for the summer or until later in the summer. The new Bills acquisition at pass rusher. I think for me, I saw that and I was like, yeah. Did y'all not see that coming? Like Joey Bosa, that feels like what he does. Some other things OTA-wise. John Harbaugh finally in front of the media and an opportunity to be asked about things that they did, including cutting Justin Tucker. He described it as a multi-layered and complicated decision, saying, I mean, you're talking about arguably the best kicker in the history of the game. And like we said, it's a multi-layered and complicated, but in the end, it all comes back to what you have to do to get ready for your team to play the first game. And I think if you step back and you take a look at all the issues and all the ramifications, you can understand that we've got to get our football team ready and we've got to have a kicker to go. And that was the move that we decided to make. Close quote. There was people that pushed back on that, like, hey, if he has not been kicking since, or if you have not seen him kick, how could this be a football decision or what have you? Do you believe or do you buy kind of what Jim Harbaugh's putting out?
Well, remember, this was
John, rather, Harbaugh's putting out.
This was one of the buy or sells back when he got cut. And by the way, we'll do that at 12:40 today. I actually think that's about as honest as you can get as a head coach, because he did say, as you just pointed out, you know, it was complicated. It was complicated, and we had to get our team ready, which is kind of a weird way of saying we didn't need that distraction. We didn't know if he was going to be available.
Yeah, I think that that's the big point, I think it was a necessary thing for him to talk about it in those terms, in order for them to be able to make the move without exposing them to whatever repercussions Justin Tucker might want to take if he wants to get litigious within this, right? No, this is a decision that we had to make in this way.
Yeah.
Some other things from OTAs out there with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Liam Cohen spoke to reporters earlier in the week, and he talked about how they're not going to have Travis Hunter work both sides of the football in any given OTA practice, saying, quote, "We won't put him in that situation to have him do that, although I'm sure he'd probably want to. He still meets defensively every day, and that's all, and you know, and he's on offense and what have you, getting the mental part or what have you." I think for me, the question that then is raised by, hey, he's having, you know, an offense day and a defense day or what have you, how viable do we actually think this is? I think that's going to be a at any given milestone during this offseason and head to the season, like, how viable is this actually doing this thing that has not been done a little bit, and it probably has not been done to the level that they are trying to actually do this?
I think that's a great way to put it. How viable is it? I think they think it's viable by doing it this way. The other thing he said is, like, during the season, he is going to be on the field. He's going to have to, in certain game plan situations, be on the field both offensively and defensively. I think it's viable. I know you're a little more skeptical about it.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do it, this is the only way to do it. You know, you're going to have to talk about monitoring reps and stuff. It's the only way to do it.
Yeah, and I guess it makes sense to be very careful with the way that you operate with him early if you're anticipating having the crazy reps later. I'm interested in seeing, like, how much development he can get in this way, where you're kind of, in a way, I understand the idea of having offense day, having defense day where he could focus, but also He has a ways to go on both of those sides to get, like, NFL level. He is the caliber of prospect that you want on as a, you know, first round pick, as a high first round pick, as a wide receiver and as a cornerback. And having both of those in one package obviously is a good thing. But as a wide receiver, we could talk about how the route running still had a lot of polish that was necessary. That was one of those things that people were jabbing at him for when you saw them in rookie mini camp, right? As a cornerback, I think one of the big things is just, like, getting the technique down at this high level, which I think he still has a good head technique. Mm-hmm. But the tough thing about it, and I don't know how you fix this, is size. Size ends up being an issue for him, both on both sides of the football, right, with all of the physicality that he's going to be either dealing or engaging with offensively. So I'm like, how does him only having one, like, half of these reps, I guess, or maybe not half of these reps, but half of the days for each of these sides actually get him prepared? I am so intrigued by what this is ultimately going to look like when you get to that place of seeing him, you know, in training camp even. Mm-hmm. Like, is this something that they continue as far as training camp, or is he just going to be in the place where he's jumping back and forth every day? Because I'm so intrigued by the mechanisms of why you do this. I think that this is why having the genuine two-way players damn near impossible.
Yeah, no, and I think it will. He didn't reference this when he was talking. I think it will continue through training camp in the preseason. But as I mentioned, when you're game planning in the regular season game, you got to have your guys out there. The other part of it that's you know, with good reason you're gonna limit this is, you know, every rookie ever talks about how your head's just swimming your entire rookie year. You know, and now it's swimming in a deeper pool. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just keep thinking, man, like, this is the part that I imagine is going to be even more difficult than just the physical toll of this. I think about baseball, right? Why are there not more Shohei Ohtanis? There are dudes that do this. Like, I think it was Mark Kotze, who was, like, a really good pitcher in addition to being, like, an outfielder. But you get to a place where, are you developing both things at the same time to where you can continue to test both of these things at the levels that you need to? Do you have enough time to be able to continue to develop these things? And I think that's going to be the fun thing about watching the Travis Hunter experiment over there in Jacksonville. Some other things from OTAs, it's worth noting that Jaden Daniels, who is the dude who I think is becoming a little bit of a juxtaposition for C.J. Stroud after he had a phenomenal rookie season, when he showed up at OTAs, there's a notable kind of thing that was being thrown out there, which is he looks a little bit thicker.
He's ripped.
Looks a little bit thicker, which is going to be necessary, right? Because I think that offensive line was a question for them. They made some moves, including acquiring Laremy Tunsil from here. I'm very interested to see how this continues to go for him as he's already put on the weight. I think he's putting on the muscle in order to try and withstand more of that punishment that he seems to be willing to take. Like, as a quarterback, he seems to be willing to get out there and take this, you know, get out there, run, and take a hit if he needs to.
Well, I mean, he had to, and he did. And frankly, you know, I think he's going to be just one of the absolute joys to watch this year. To see, I should say, intriguing to watch to see exactly, you know, if he does take that next step. It certainly, with that extra muscle, certainly would be a good step.
Yeah, there's a lot of expectation on those Commanders this year, and mm-hmm. I'm interested, especially considering the ways in which C.J. Stroud's second year went, and obviously we know the particulars of that. What is the Jane Daniels year two experience look like, especially after a very highly touted mm-hmm. rookie year? All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's Around the NFL. Coming up next, whenever you have a blowout like we did in the Western Conference Finals, that game, Western Conference Finals ceiling game that happened between the Thunder and Timberwolves, everybody starts chirping up about how they would have done better. And so let's have the conversation. Would the Rockets have beaten the Timberwolves if they had had the opportunity to meet them? 713-572-4610. Let's work through that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, let's talk.
Oh, boy, Timberwolves got an ass whooping now, didn't they?
Boy, man.
One half of the NBA Finals is set. Oklahoma City Thunder win the West. In definitive fashion, the way it feels right. Like the Oklahoma City Thunder have been fantastic this year, number one seed in the West. They're now going to represent the West in the finals after I'm pretty sure that the actual final score of Thunder Timberwolves last night was a lot to a little. I'm pretty sure that that's what the actual scoreboard said.
A little 30 point win.
Yeah, I was going to say hurt at least 30.
Yeah, 124-94 was the actual final.
We need what was the score at the end of the first quarter? That's
26-9.
Yeah, 26-9. I was like, ain't nobody coming back from this one.
Yeah, and when a team gets whooped like that, and of course it's a 5-game series, and it felt like the series was ended when Minnesota Timberwolves really just threw what was a fantastic game at the Oklahoma City Thunder all the way around, and the Thunder were just like, yeah, we're just gonna have superstar ball at the end of this game, where Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and a little bit of Jalen Williams are just gonna have tough middies that we're going to make, and we're just going to put this away.
Yeah.
And so that one ends. But when a game ends like this, right, or when a series ends in the way that this one does, all these other teams that have been bounced out are like, well, I could have done that.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of Warriors fans
they
talking
suck.
Like, yeah. Hey, man, if Steph Curry wouldn't have gotten hurt, we'd have beat the Timberwolves, and we'd have put up a better fight against the Thunder.
If
and I'm
if
like,
was a fifth, we all be drunk.
Yeah. But I also did see, and I believe this was like, this is Will, who was, you know, prominent on Rockets Twitter, kind of throw up there, and he was like, I might get crushed for this, but he thought that, you know, if, you know, the Rockets would have, you know, had just a small thing go differently, and they would get over the Golden State Warriors, that they would have been able to beat these Timberwolves.
I think they would have pushed it to possibly a game seven. Mm-hmm.
That's the question I have for you. Yeah. Like, do you believe that, that the Rockets would have? Because, again, I think that comes back to the idea that we were looking at the Golden State Warriors and like, that's probably one of the worst matchups for this Rockets team in the first round. And it kind of played out that way, especially when Steph Curry started doing Steph Curry things where he's running around. I know you leaned on him and you were able to kind of take some of his legs out from under him early, it felt like. But when he started going and he started knocking down shots, it just felt like that really made it just a little too far to get to. But if you do not have that circumstance, if you find a way beyond the Warriors, is this a Rockets team that you could see beating these Timberwolves and ones that lost in five to the Thunder?
I'm kind of hesitant to say it because it sounds so weird because, you know, we knew the Rockets had shortcomings with their go-to guys and Jalen Green in the postseason and all that. Was that ever going to change, you know, their offense? But I kind of agree. I kind of agree because of the defensive side. I mean, Oklahoma City just suffocated them.
They did.
They just absolutely suffocated them. I find it hard to believe that the Rockets wouldn't have done the same thing, you know, with their defensive prowess. The problem is, you know, what would they have done?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The other end.
That's the question with the Rockets in general. Like, what is the offensive output? And I think that it's worth remembering, right? Mm-hmm. As much as in this game, they ain't have nothing for the Thunder.
Yeah.
I think that this Timberwolves team is phenomenal. Still was phenomenal defensively. Yeah. Like, if you even just look at the overarching of the season, like, this was a top 10 defense. Mm-hmm. The Minnesota Timberwolves that they had there. On top of, do you know what you do size-wise with the Timberwolves? Like, I understand Rudy Gobert is one of those dudes that we could absolutely get up here and try and knock on.
What does he do to your offense? Yeah.
All that rebounding that we're talking about here, like, that was very prominent for the Rockets offensively.
Mm-hmm.
How does that go when you have Rudy Gobert in here kind of taking away, grabbing some of these boards? Because, I mean, in this series, Rudy Gobert and Naz Reid especially, like, when they went with him as the five, got to some interesting places because you have Chet Holmgren out there for the Thunder. You have Isaiah Hartenstein out there, and that's 2 7-footers that they'd play a lot that would get boards. And, yes, I think Steven Adams very much has some level of facsimile there because we've seen him. He was one of the best offensive rebounding guys all season long. But that gets a lot more difficult, kind of fraught with Rudy Gobert. And I don't know that you could play Rudy Gobert off the floor in the way that I think that you would need to in order to kind of open that up. And I think that hits at one of the heart of what the Rockets would have been looking for offensively to try and compete.
So what do you think? Because I think defensively they could have been right there. But offensively, you mentioned Gobert and not just his rebounding. I mean, just defense in general, no matter who, even against Steven Adams and let's presume they had the double bigs there. You know, what is he getting off? You know, what is Steven Adams getting off if there's any dump-offs or even Şengün? So it's an interesting question. I think they would have been there defensively, but maybe I'm more falling in line with Figgy. They might have made it interesting, but I don't know if they would have beat them.
It definitely would have been a gritty type of game.
Yeah.
But it could have went either way, kind of like the Golden State series. It could have, like, they could push it to 7. But maybe they could have won, maybe they couldn't. I think it would have been that close of a game.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be a runaway game like this one.
Mm-hmm. I hear you, 832, that comes in on the text line against 713-572-4610. The idea that Şengün cooks Gobert during their matchups. And I don't disagree with that. I think the tough part about that then becomes,
who else gonna cook?
There you go, right? Yeah. Especially because you start talking about, all right, on the perimeter, even you were able to find some mismatches, you were able to find some situations where you're like, hey, we can attack these guys with the Warriors. You know, two guys that I don't really love having to match up against, two guys that feel like the same dude as perimeter defenders, their names are Jaden McDaniels and Nikhil Alexander Walker, who, mind you, did you know that he was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's cousin? Have you heard this? Have you heard of this before?
I got to write that down.
I just feel like those guys would have made it incredibly difficult. And I say all this to say, I think that the Timberwolves are a really good team. They just find themselves in one of those weird places where, are they going to be the team now that has a cap that can't get over the hump?
They got to make some decisions. Yeah. Like, they might be kind of like a one and done almost with some of the salaries they're going to have to.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious what they're going to do because I wonder if they have to run it back, or are they going to try to get in the game where they try to get somebody else that can possibly.
Can they run it back? You know, with the decisions they have to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they can. I think it just, there's going to be a lot of questioning of Anthony Edwards in the way that he goes about this because he has to be the hub for this. And I was asking a friend of mine, like, watching this Western Conference Finals compared to the last Western Conference Finals that they played in where they lost to the Mavericks, is Anthony Edwards a better player? And the answer is probably yes, but not by all that much. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing where he's going to need to find that additional level because he has to be more of a playmaker for his teammates. And he also has to, like, make the right decision consistently.
Yes.
And he does that to a decently high degree. And I want to give him credit because I think ultimately all this comes back to the Oklahoma City Thunder are actually, I think that we're looking at an all-time team.
Well, I was just going to go there because Anthony Edwards really played well. I mean, the whole postseason, I thought he really played well. But I'm already seeing things, you know, out there about this is the dawning of the next Warriors, you know, when it comes to the Thunder. And that might be a little bit, you know, hasty just because they haven't even won one yet. But I think they're going to win one. I think they're going to win one, and I think they're set up big time.
Yeah, I keep looking at this Oklahoma City Thunder team, and Just look at turnover differential because they were they're suffocating defensively. Mm-hmm. Texas Misfit on the YouTube that says OKC would have lost to Houston. No, they would not.
No, they wouldn't have.
No, they would not. Just off of the strength of the defense alone. Yeah. Like, that defense is swarming. This is that was a good offensive Minnesota team that they made look like that all the way through. Now, what do you take against just to put it kindly, a middling offensive Rockets team against all of the swarming nature of that Oklahoma City Thunder team? Like, the turnover differential, get this here, guys, because I have this. When it comes to all-time turnover differentials, who are the all-time kind of defensive teams you think of? Who, the Chicago Bulls of the 90s?
They would be in there.
A couple of those that are top five. The 96 and the 97 Bulls both had a turnover differential of a 72. Toronto Raptors, you know, the Kawhi Leonard led, where he took them that little stint in Toronto. They were a plus 79 turnover. Maybe even, you know, the Heatles, 2013 when they found their stride, Miami, they were a plus 66. This Oklahoma City Thunder team in their turnover differential to this point.
Isn't it like 90-something?
It's a plus 100.
I thought it is.
So not only, like, they're incredible at turning over the basketball. They did that up and down in that final game.
Yeah.
They also don't turn the basketball over. Where is the Rockets finding offense there?
Yeah,
and I say that not just to, like, talk about the Rockets, but just this is a team that you're going to have to contend with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a team that's going to be here. Because on top of that, they got two first-round picks next year, or this year, two first-round picks next year. They have... there's guys that are going to come up and they're going to need contracts, but they've got them. If you can't afford to pay them, you can let them go because Sam Presti has been so forward thinking. You've got the next guy who steps into that role in all of these circumstances. Like, this is a team that they might be opening a dynasty window right when the Rockets are ready to try and, like, find their way into contention. And I think this circles back to the reason why I'm so much on the idea of developing and trusting that is cool. You're going to have to do some special developing or some special moves in order to contend with the
and
team.
And big-time development. Big leaps.
And they got all the resources to do that, too. I'm talking about the OKC Thunder.
Yeah.
Because they got a million and one first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
So they got time to kind of draft and let somebody sit because they got some other people ahead of them.
Yeah, and at the risk of really speaking to Thunder one more time and just like really just laying it on thick, there have been five non-pack taxpayer teams in the years that they've had like the salary tax in the NBA that have won the title. Lakers in the bubble year, Warriors in 15 and 17, which is kind of crazy because they added KD and were not in the tax. Yeah. Like, that speaks to the anomaly that they had with getting dudes for really cheap on circumstances. The 2014 Spurs, the 06 Heat, and it would also be, if they got to this point, the 2025 Oklahoma City Thunder.
That's how you build a team, man.
It feels like that is indeed how you build a team. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping on this Thursday, including how do you feel about – well, let's talk about the Astros. Because we talked about Jose Altuve, but let's talk about the Astros. Like, how are you feeling about them about a third of the way into the season? We'll talk about that next. All right, let's talk about what's popping here on this Thursday here in Loop. Circle back around to a little bit of Astros baseball. A little day baseball yesterday, but ultimately ended up being a victory. Astros got a sweep of the A's. A nice quick two-game set for the Astros there. 5-3 was the final. Who was the most impressive for you in that performance? Because I feel like I love that after many of these Astros games, you can reasonably ask yourself who was the most impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number of guys. Because, I mean, Victor Caratini had the two RBI single in the bottom of the seven when the bases were loaded. He's been very important. And I think you said put a pin in that. Now we will go to that pin because I think that he has been very good for you. Also, him catching all of these Lance McCullers outings, I'm not willing to say that like that is the reason for some of Lance McCullers' good starts, but a good thing to see him get a quality.
Martin Maldonado for McCullers.
Good quality start for him as well. 6 innings, 12 strikeouts, which is a career high, and he threw 102 pitches, which is really good, right, that he's throwing at this level. And so I love that, especially with the shape of that slider. It's killer, man. It is. So, he got ahead frequently in counts. It feels like he's in a good place when it comes to rotation. And then Zach DiCenzo going yard. He's one of those guys that you almost feel like get him some more opportunity and more burn.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question it's McCullers. And for a couple of reasons, not just his stuff. We talked about that while it was happening. We talked about it this morning. You just mentioned it. I just call him breaking balls because he's just got an arsenal of breaking pitches.
He does.
He's got the knuckle curve.
He does.
Got the slider. He has a true curve ball.
Change up in there as well.
Yeah. And so Not just the.
I don't think I've seen him throw like a true curve outside of the knuckle curve.
Well, the knuckle curve is kind of he puts a different jelly on it, so to speak. He changes his hand placement, mm-hmm. as I understand it, and it can move differently. And we've all seen how good that can work. But 102 pitches.
Yeah,
102 pitches, and looked like he was good to go. You know, gave his old tip of the cap as he's leaving and all that. It's got to be McCullers simply because of the context of they never needed a starting pitcher more. You know, than right
fair,
now.
Fair.
You know, with all their injuries and such. But I said put a pin in Caratini. I think you got to see more of him. You got to see more of him. You know, neither one is really throwing out a lot of runners.
Between Caratini and Yainer Diaz?
Yeah, and they're really bad. The last I looked, they were worse than the league in terms of number that they've given up.
I mean, last time I looked, it was also that. And I don't know how recently that was. So, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, the defense is not going to be like a big improvement, but as we often say, can't be worse. Can't be worse, and he's hitting the ball. I think he needs to get a lot more run.
I don't disagree. Yeah. He might get some more run because of this. I also mentioned DeZenzo. He might get some more run because of this. But although I feel like with what the news that we got, hopefully not, because Christian Walker got hit by a pitch on like a pitch high and inside on honestly his backhand. And it was on his right hand on the like kind of the knuckles.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, Severino just missed it. Right. And so he stayed in the game defensively, which is probably a good sign until the bottom of six when Mauricio Dubon pinch hit for him. X-rays were negative on Christian Walker, according to Joe Espada after the game. They'll see how he feels today. So we'll be looking out for more information there. But he wasn't he just wasn't comfortable gripping the bat. So. Should he miss some time? Those other guys get some, but hopefully he doesn't because he's really been turning things up of late. So seeing him actually swing the bat a lot better is great. However, I did think it was notable. We got same day X-ray and results divulged to us.
Oh, really?
And so I was like, oh, do we feel like this is a new Astros? Or are they turning a corner to some degree? Because remember, they were pretty quick on letting us know what was happening with Ronald Blanco as well. Or is this just evidence of them hoarding information in the past? And this is just. A particular instance.
Well, I think it was good news, so they got it out there.
Yeah,
nothing to worry about. Good news. He was talking about it's just managing the swelling, the inflammation.
Right. Which so we'll that's see. Not even that's not a, that'll make me feel any better because how many times have we been to a place where managing inflammation has ended to an IL stint?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, negative X-rays, so that's always good. I wouldn't expect him to play. You know, give him another day, right?
Maybe. I'll be interested to see. I mean, they got a big four game. Well, I don't know how big it is. It's a four game set against the Rays.
The Rays have a winning record all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I saw someone earlier on the text line. I agree with them. They're like, hey, we got to get our lick back after not being able to really do it up against the Rays there in Tampa, getting a four game set. Go ahead and get three of these. You would need wins. Well, I mean, not necessarily wins, but the four that you have going, including today, Ryan Gusto is on the mound for you versus Shane Baz. But Framber Valdez, we have the Friday start. Colton Gordon, Hunter Brown, you have a Hunter Brown day on Sunday. So you have some guys that I think you feel really good about on the mound, especially Framber and Hunter over the weekend series. So getting a win against the Rays will be beneficial. Mind you, around baseball, some other Astros-related things, the Nationals beat the Mariners 9-0, so that actually put the Astros only a half game back of Seattle. So, you know, it feels like you really take hold. By the end of the weekend, you could have a nice hold of the AL West if things break your way. And oddly enough, like remember that we always feel like after the Astros really lay it on thick, run scoring-wise, that the next game isn't all that good, and maybe you just go, this is the A's, and it does not count. But remember, they had 10 runs, or 11 runs, really.
Yeah.
The day before, yesterday, they get a victory. 6-7 out in those instances. So shout out to them for that. And on the farm, Shea Whitcomb. Haven't heard that name in a little bit. 3-home run night in Albuquerque for the Sugar Land Space Cowboys. So shout out to the Astros in that regard. Some other things that are popping. This is something I actually just saw. You like March Madness now, don't you?
Love it. Absolutely.
Yeah, there might be more to love because if Charlie Baker, who is the president of the NCAA, is right, the NCAA is ready to expand March Madness for the men's side to 76 teams as soon as, you want to guess the year?
Next year.
2026, that's right. Good idea, bad idea, terrible idea.
You always tend to lean like, well, people are consuming it. And so, you know, with the old pigs get fed thing.
Hogs get slaughtered.
I think this is a little hoggish. I think this is a little hoggish. Now, I'm probably going to be proved wrong. I did want to see it go to 64. I did want to see it expanded to the play-in game.
To 68?
I mean, to 68, yeah.
Oh, so you really be watching these first four, huh?
Well, I just think, you know, in terms of, like, teams
that
getting
that Tuesday,
in.
He be sitting down like, the tournament started.
Don't bother me, man. I'm watching Ball
Let's
State.
Let's go St. Mary's.
Or whatever.
See, this is the thing. You missed the joke, because the joke is it's always Dayton. Dayton is always playing in the first four.
It is Dayton.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it, I should say. I didn't want it to go to 64 back in the day. Didn't want to, you know, see. I didn't mind the 68. They said that another option is 72. I don't know how that would work, 72 or 76. I kind of think that's a bit much.
It just feels like a lot. And the one question I do wonder, and maybe this is unfair because I guess you have still seen oftentimes some really good teams ultimately making it to the end. Is the more rounds that we put in here, are we pushing it further and further towards being a random championship generator as opposed to getting like as much of the best team as we can
at
the end here?
I don't think so. I mean, case in point, you know, I know Florida won and Duke was favored, but I mean, they were all there in the Final Four. You were getting the great team still doing what they do, you know?
Yeah. So we'll watch that space to see if that comes about. By the way, somebody said on the text line, I can't believe we're talking about Lance, but it feels good. Go Stros. Absolutely does. And if you want to turn that good feeling into some money, Will Kunkel posted this on Twitter, and I thought this was interesting. Apparently, Lance McCullers' odds for comeback player of the year, plus 3,300.
That's high. Like, that's really, really value. I mean, he's like the definition of comeback player of the year. Dude hadn't pitched in 2 years and then comes back. And performs at any level, just a winning record.
I'm just saying. Put your money down.
Spend all your money, guys.
I am never the person that you take betting advice from. Yeah. I'm going to be completely straightforward on that. However, my layman's betting brain does make me go, that feels like a good place to just throw a flyer out there.
Put a buck out there.
Put a nice like $5-$10 on there. You know, don't go to Whataburger today. Put 10 on it and see what happens. Yeah. Like that feels like something you should do. Some other things that are popping. You saw this. Tom Brady and Jim Gray are doing this thing that I find interesting, which is a Hall of Excellence that they're opening in Las Vegas. How do you view this, right? Because the idea is they're going to put some historical excellent items in there.
Not a Hall of Fame.
Not a Hall of Fame, a Hall of Excellence. They're starting with the bat used by Jackie Robinson.
What's the letters for it?
In 47. I guess. All right. Took me a second there. I mean, we are in Houston, and that word is used for everything. I just don't want nobody coming and talking to me about that. Michael Jordan's first Air Jordans that he wore in 84, plus first ones that he won a championship in. Brady's 7 Super Bowl rings will go in there.
Of course.
Clint Eastwood's Academy Award for Unforgiven. Is that one of these things not like the other? Because the last one is gloves from Muhammad Ali that he wore in a match in 66. That feels like one of these things not like the other. I'm going to be honest.
I actually love this. It's not a Hall of Fame. It's just like, hey, you want to go? And by the way,
you want to see some cool stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's going to kill. I would definitely, if
I was in Vegas,
yes,
I would definitely go to that.
Yes. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that it's like, hey, do you want to go see some really cool stuff? Well, why would I say no to that?
Apparently, it's just going to focus on sports memorabilia, though. So,
yeah.
Like,
I actually like that because, I mean, you got the Music Hall of Fame, pretty much the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, that pretty much have stuff in there, but it's more related to music.
People get inducted to it, though.
Yeah, but that
makes it better to me.
But if you actually go to the museum part, you see stuff in there.
Yeah.
Like, you can see Michael Jackson glove or
some
dress or whatever somebody wore. But you actually do that with sports.
That's cool. I love this idea. You're in Vegas? Hey, let's run through the Hall of Excellence. Let's see what that hoe's all about.
Am I a bad person? Because my first thought when I saw this is, like, all that sports memorability in one place, huh?
Oh.
That seems right for somebody to try and knock that off, don't it?
Yeah.
I got a hunch there's pretty good security in Las Vegas.
I mean, you have to. Yeah. You absolutely have to.
And O.J. Simpson passed away, so he ain't going to go back to get his stuff.
Oh, that's right.
I definitely thought it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said it, but not me. So there you go.
Oprah's Presidential Medal of Freedom is going to be there. I want to see it. Sure. Why not?
How much you paying for entry into the Hall of Excellence, into that hub?
Oh, not just for Oprah. I'll pay.
I was not assuming that you were paying just to go see Oprah. Yes.
Tiger's ball from his first Masters win. This is cool stuff.
Yeah. Would you pay $50 to get in?
Oh, ain't no way. Ain't no way.
Easy.
Ain't really? No way.
Easy.
Ain't no way I'm paying $50 to go see that.
I absolutely would.
But I also know myself because I get bored after a while.
But see, me personally, if it was just me, I would pay $50. But I know it's always a plus one with me, mm-hmm. with my wife. And then I'm like, $100? Is that worth going in there? I'm like, I don't know about that.
Is this $100 worth?
If it was, if I was single, I'd pay that $50.
Yeah,
I don't know about $100, man.
I think you give me a 30, maybe 35.
Come on, man, you can pay $50 for that.
Somebody said Gene Hackman stole the show on Unforgiven. Okay, all right.
He did. That's one of my favorite movies.
832. Would you be surprised if I said I haven't watched it?
I would not be surprised.
Okay, very good.
You should. It's a terrific movie.
Well, maybe it comes up in something that we do later. Somebody said, have y'all seen Mac's memorabilia collection? It's insane. He even has the Olympic torch from Aladdin. I haven't seen Mac's memorabilia. I imagine he got the money to do that.
I'm sure he's going to put some in Vegas for the right price.
He's the right guy to contact. I've seen some of it, not all of it.
Mattress Mac is too much about Houston. Ain't no way he's putting that in Vegas, baby. That's going to be right here.
Hey, that money talks, man. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty familiar with Vegas.
Mm-hmm. He is. He is indeed.
By the way, visitors will also hear detailed stories from broadcasters like Bob Costas, Marv Albert.
And Jim Gray.
And Jim Nance.
Oh man.
Jim Nance.
Ah, man.
And real quick before we go, Dynamo midweek soccer, which I'll be honest, I'm annoyed by. But Dynamo got a victory, 3-0 at Yankee Stadium versus NYCFC.
Mm-hmm. They're back.
They are technically holding and occupying a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. It's 16 games to a 34 game season, so you don't really have to lean too much on that. But I think more than anything, it points to they've gotten over that rough start that they had earlier. So
you don't like the midweek soccer?
Not for MLS. It's annoying for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Oh, you know what? I do know why, because midweek soccer is now competing with Western Conference Finals and baseball. And all
right now,
I'm like, MLS, you're not comparing. You're not comparing right now, with all due respect. I do love you. And by the way, if you are so inclined, voting for the 2025 MLS All-Star Game has started. So go out and cast your votes for your Dynamo faithful, whether it's Linger, McGlynn, Ponce, all those guys. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's also return to OTAs yesterday, because I thought that we had some really interesting, thoughtful conversations between Aziz Alshaier about leadership and Will Anderson Jr. about his next step in development. So I want to talk about that. Let's hear that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.